We're talking about Chag Shavuot. According to Ashkenazim, Nusach Ashkenaz, everyone reads the Megillah of Rut on Shavuot in the morning before laying the Torah. And Nusach Ashkenaz, they lay it from cloth, from parchment, and you make a bracha on it. Two brachot, Shechiyano also. Okay? But some don't say it. Sfaradim, sometimes they don't say it, some people do say it. Minag, okay, why do we read Rut on Shavuot? The few reasons why do we read Rut on Shavuot? You know, we read each, there's five Megillot. How do you say Megillot in English?
That's it.
Megillot. It's five Megillot.
Book.
Scroll. Right. Five scrolls, five books. And we read them at different times of the year. Esther, we read on Purim, because it's a story of Purim. Eicha, the prophecy of Eicha from the prophet Yirmiyahu, we read on Tisha B'Av, because it was prophesizing about that terrible day. And Sukkot, we read Kohelet, and on Pesach we read Shir HaShinim, and on Shavuot we read Rut. Why do we read Rut on Shavuot? Ruth. In English they call it, right? Ruth. Why do we read Rut on Shavuot? One of the reasons is, what?
She's a ger.
She's a ger, so what do we get to Shavuot?
We were gerim because we received the Torah.
Or gerim. Let's see. Some say there's a few reasons. The Avudram, one of the Rishonim, says that it's mentioned over there in the very beginning that it was the days of Ktsir Chitim, harvesting the wheat. And now is the time that we harvest the wheat. You go out to the fields, you see it's all yellow now. Now that's the harvest. That's how we read it then. Another reason, like you said, also from the Avudram, that we were like Gerim when we see the Torah. We had Du Brit Milah, Du Korban Pesach, all the things that we did, and also Rut was a Giyor. Very good. Another reason, a few reasons, many reasons here. So interesting. Another reason is that Rut, her whole thing was Chesed, right? Rut, she was modest also. We learned from the way she crouched.
Bent down.
Bent down and not, she didn't bend down like regular. She had crouched.
She down. Kneeled down.
Kneeled, right. And that way, it was more tzanua. But she was full of chasadim. She had chesed with Naomi. She was all chesed. Okay? And the Torah also, the whole idea of the Torah is for ben adam l'chaveru, to do chesed with each other. Because just for the mitzvahs with Hashem, we didn't have to come to this world. We came to this world to do mitzvahs between each other. Another reason why we read it is because David HaMelech, his great grandmother was Rut, and it's his yahrzeit on Chag HaShavuot. Right? Baruch Hashem, a few years already I've been going to David HaMelech on Shavuot in the afternoon. Say over there to heal him. It's a big thing. He can walk over, it's good. Another interesting reason is that on Chag Shavuot, Am Yisrael receive Rut mitzvot. How much is Rut in numerical numbers? 406. How much are we lacking for the mitzvot of Torah?
Seven.
Seven we already had. The seven mitzvot of the Noahites. Right? So we receive another 606 mitzvot. That's another reason why we root. Interesting, huh? Interesting thing. I didn't know all these. And in the Midrash is brought also, why do we read root in that Tzeret? To teach you that the Torah is not, you cannot acquire the Torah only through suffering and poverty. You see all the Gdolei Yisrael, the Avadia, all the Tzadikim, all the Gdolei. They went through poverty, they went through suffering, through hard times, and then they grew with the Torah. Okay? Why? Because the Torah came from Kadosh Baruch Hu and said, Ribono shel Olam, ten chelki v'shevet shel oni, put my part amongst the tribes, the people which are poor. Why? Because if rich people will be learning me, they'll be haughty, they'll get the arrogance. But if they're poor, they'll know that they're hungry, they're nothing, they're garnish. And then they won't be haughty, and then that's where I want to be. Where I want to be. Also, always by the low, it's many stories. We know that the Torah is a nimshal, is parallel to water. Just like water always goes to the lower places, the Torah always goes to the low people, not to the rich people. Also, in the Mishnah Nova says, "Be careful with the children of poor people, because Torah comes out of them." Today, you don't have to be poor in money to learn the Torah. We're very poor in that. Have to come and hear a lot of Torah. So, on Shavuot, we do the Haftarah, we read the Navi, the prophets, from Yechezkel, which talks about the Ma'aseh Merkava. Why? Ma'aseh Merkava is the chariot of Hashem. Why do we read that? Because Hashem revealed himself with his chariot on Mount Sinai and Chag Shavuot. Now, in Chutz La'aretz, where they keep 2 days Yom Tov, so it's good. The second night you don't have to stay up the whole night, but at least to say just the Tanakh part of the Shavuot. If you can be up all night, very nice.
You get up all night in the second night?
If you're able to, it's very good. If not, just say to learn a couple of hours, that's so good, and go to sleep. Few more mitzvahs on Shavuot. Alachas. Shavuot will be the Hashem on the following, not this coming Sunday, the following Sunday.
This coming
meaning
Sunday
meaning Motzei Shabbat.
This coming Sunday is
Yom Yerushalayim.
Yom Yerushalayim.
Hashem did miracles and gave us Shmuel HaNavi. It is your site also. Can you imagine? They conquered. Hashem gave us back Shmuel HaNavi and is your site. He did it. One of himself did it. So what do you mean? I'm here alone? No one's coming to visit me? It was Jordan. Hashem gave it back to us. Oh, Hashem. And the Kotel. And
Hebron.
Hebron. And Yosef HaTzadik. Oh, Hashem. Other Kibbutz Tzadiki. So we have to thank Hashem, definitely. For all the good things he's done with us. Just like it's a mitzvah to honor the Shabbat and to rejoice and have pleasure on Shabbat, it's a mitzvah to honor all the Yomim Tovim, all the holidays, and especially to honor Chag Shavuot, which in that Chag we receive the Torah. We know, everyone knows that the light that comes, that came down for the first time that something happened, comes down every year. And someone can merit to receive it if he prepares himself for it. There's a big advantage in saying Tehilim on Chag Shavuot, because David HaMelech was niftar, he passed on Chag Shavuot. It was Shabbos that year. He died on Shabbos. Know the story of David HaMelech, how he died? He was Hashem told him that he would die on Shabbos. He didn't tell him which Shabbos. He was young, he was only 7 years old.
So he was constantly studying
Hashem. Studying, right, Torah. And then the Satan, the Malach HaMavis came, and I have to take him. That's my job, what am I going to do? He's learning, I can't touch someone who's learning all the time. So he made noise in the trees, and David HaMelech got up, and he didn't stop learning, his mouth was learning. And he walked down the stairs, and a step broke under him, and then he stopped learning for a second, and then the Malach HaMavis was able to come and take his neshama. It was Shabbos. On Shavuot. In the mitzvah, on every chag, half for you, half for Hashem. Especially on Shavuot, half for Hashem. If you calculate how many hours you have, you can give half to Hashem. 25 hours in the chag, give 12 and a half to Hashem. Sadam. It's easy. You do an hour, you want to do it. You do it up all night. You done in Shacharit Mincha Arvit. We got up to 12, man.
You know, in Baltimore, and I'm sure most American cities, they would have different levels of learning all night for Shavuos. So you might have a group of rabbis together who would be learning one thing. Then you have a group of guys like me learning with another person something different. But you know, at every level, we have the option of learning. And in fact, one year, the religious community asked the Reformed rabbis in Baltimore if they'd like to join. Join in terms of staying up all night. You know, it's like to stay up all night and learn. And they said, you can pick stuff and we'll pick stuff. And people can choose to come. You know, they can come, whatever the Jews want to come to. You can go to a religious thing or Reform thing. And it was really very nice because there were a lot of people who participated for the first time. And staying up all night.
We learned in the before you, now you came now, but we learned before that the best thing on Shavuot to learn, the best thing is to learn the Tikkun Leil Shavuot. You know the Tikkun Leil Shavuot? The book you can buy, it's called Tikkun Leil Shavuot. It has parts of the whole Torah, and according to the Arizal, that's the best thing to do. It's not hard. It's just to read. And that's the best thing to do on Shavuot. You can do other things. The best thing to do is the Tikkun Leil Shavuot. It's a big, big fixing in Shemayim. It's parts of the 24 books. And the 24 books written is the 24 ornaments that they put on the bride, which is the Shechina. There are big secrets in it. But that's the best thing to do. And we don't learn, not to learn Mishnayos on Shavuot at all, night. Every night it's good to learn Mishnayos. On Shavuot night, no. So, mitzvah, tzimchat, yom tov kadosh, hazeh gdola, hazeh meod, the mitzvah of rejoicing and happiness on this holy Yom Tov and Shavuot is very great. Until that it's written in the Gemara and one of the biggest Amoraim, Mar Brei de Ravina, that he used to fast all year, all day he used to fast. Right? Eat or maybe only you eating or whatever. Shabbos. But on Shavuot, he didn't fast. Why? Because the Torah was given to Am Yisrael. Another story about Rabbi Yosef. On Chag Shavuot, he used to make a special dish. It's called Igla Tilta, a third-born cow. They say that a third-born cow is the most meshubach. It's the best meat. Because the first one, the mother maybe was young, so it's not the strongest. Also the second one. The third one is a chita. He used to go, it's probably also the most expensive meat. And he used to get that dafka for Shavuot. Yeah. Asur to fast. Every day you're allowed to fast, and it's even Shabbos you're allowed to fast, and it's chalom. Fast of a dream. If someone had a bad dream, he wants to fast. Even on Shabbos you're allowed to, just that he has to fast again a different day instead. But Shavuot, asur to fast at all, in any condition. Under any condition. There's a minhag in Am Yisrael. It's just a minhag, okay? It's not halacha. To eat dairy products on the first day of Shavuos. And the reason is, because, the main reason is, that, b'pnei sheyesh tzorich le'echol shnei ma'achalim zecher l'shtei aleichem, there's a special korban, the only korban, besides thanks, that was brought in Beis HaMikdash that wasn't matzah, was on Shavuos. It's bread. They brought bread to Beis HaMikdash. Two loaves. So you're supposed to have two loaves. So we eat two loaves. We eat one loaf with meat, with dairy, and one loaf of meat. Right? So that's a minhag to do it. There's other reasons. The reason why we eat dairy and then afterwards meat is to tell us that the two malachim which came to Avraham Avinu, they ate meat and dairy. So what does that do with us? It's to emphasize the difference between us and the angels. The angels, they can eat meat, dairy, it doesn't make a difference. We eat dairy and then meat. Another reason.
I thought they first had, with Abraham, they first had dairy, like a yogurt. And then, so that they could have something immediately while they shafted the cow and cooked it, which took several hours.
He says you're the opposite. There's another reason, more famous one. It's that we receive the Torah, that we have to shecht, and we have to do everything kosher. And So all the vessels were treif, and they didn't know how to shecht yet. They had to learn how to shecht, they wanted to learn how to do the shechita. So therefore, in the meantime, they had no products. Another reason, according to the Zohar Kadosh, in Parshas Emor, and he writes that the 7 weeks of Sefirat HaOmer are like the 7 days of a woman cleaning herself before going to the mikveh. Right? And also Am Yisrael is purifying themselves from the blood of Egypt, the contamination. And there are sages say that a woman who's nursing doesn't see blood. It's supposed to be like that, but unfortunately, because our women in our days are not the healthiest people, so they nurse and they see blood. But it's supposed to be like that. Okay? So then, how does the woman have milk? It's made out of her blood. Right? She has no blood, she has milk instead. So also, Am Yisrael, we purify ourselves the whole 7 weeks. And then, on Matan Torah, we have milk, not blood anymore. That's why, another reason why we eat, according to the Zohar, milk products. Some say that the reason why we eat meat, dairy products, is because in Hebrew, how do you say milk?
Halav.
Halav, right? That's a numerical number of 40. Chet is 8, Lamed is 30, that's 38, and Bet is 2, that's 40. It corresponds to the 40 days and 40 nights that Moshe Rabbeinu was up in Shammai to learn the Torah. He was up there to learn the Torah, so we eat milk products. Okay. There's a minute also to eat dvash. Also, honey, to eat some, either mamash honey or honey cake, whatever, something with honey. Why? It says in the Shir HaShirim regarding the Torah, dvash v'chalav tachat l'shonech. Honey and milk under your tongue. It's referring to the Torah. The Torah is under your tongue. Honey and milk. See, the Torah is sweet like honey. And it's like milk. Nourishes like a mother's milk. It nourishes the whole the baby. Completely, you see that? It's unbelievable, huh? Baby, he only eats mother's milk, and he grows to be a person. He doesn't need vitamins, doesn't need anything. Just eats the mother's milk. It's an amazing machine. You put bamba inside, milk comes out. You put onion inside, milk comes out. You ever meet a machine like that? So it's very sophisticated. I don't think they invented such a machine yet. And they never will either.
But milk is symbolizes Torah also. So in order to become a man, you have to learn Torah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, very good.
That's my kiddush.
Very good.
That just as the baby nourishes just as the milk, also the Jew, his whole nourishment has to be from Torah.
Also, Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be the land of milk and honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. A person must be happy in the Chag, and there's no happiness without meat and wine. And therefore, a person should not only have milk products, rather, he should have also a meat meal if he enjoys meat. If one does not enjoy meat, he's not obligated to eat meat. Dafka meat.
Ooh.
Or meh. Not kukuriku. Kukuriku is not meat, really. Okay, you understand? It's good to have meat. Just as good advice, if you want very good meat, in Israel it goes by numbers. In America, I know they call it by names of parts of the body. So in Israel, you want very good meat, it's expensive. You buy number 5. It's the softest meat you can ever get. Soft, 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 soft. You can cook it a few hours just in the water. Afterwards, you cool it off, you slice it to small, eh? And then you can fry onions, whatever you want, to make a gravy, and you put the meat inside, let it cook another hour or two with the gravy. The best. Bichvot Chag Shavuot, it's halacha shir, the teacher also. So.
Well, there's always cheesecake.
I know someone who, in Shavuot, he says to have milk, so when he comes home from Shul, he washes his hands, he has a little pita or whatever, with the yogurt. So, he has milk products. That's his thing. He doesn't make a whole thing out of it. People go crazy. The mitzvah of the day, to eat milk products. It's not the mitzvah of the day. It's a minag. It's a good thing to do. But meat, to eat meat is a bigger mitzvah than eating milk. If you eat meat, you're not vegetarian. It's a bigger mitzvah to eat meat than to eat milk. Milk is a minag. So you should have two meals. Stam has good advice. When you eat too much meat, you get heavy. You get tired. Your body works hard because our intestines are not built really for digesting meat so much. We have like vegetarian intestines, very long. You can see the animals which eat meat. They have very short intestines, it's called. The stomach, very short.
Goes right through them.
Goes right too. By us, why? Because we're built more like vegetarian animals. Long. So if you eat meat at night, you might be tired for learning. So maybe have fish at night. Have something easy at night.
Also, there's a problem with digestion in the colon, large colon. With meat, but what I recommend is Gary Wonder Pot makes excellent cheesecake. Gary Wonder Pot. Cheer pillow.
Steel pellet. Seal.
Sear.
Is it steel?
Sear.
Pellet.
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 P E L E.
Pellet.
L. Is it L?
L.
P-E-L-E.
Pele.
Good. So you don't have to eat two meals in a day. It's a Yom Tov. We have only two meals. We don't have three meals. Right? So you don't have to do now, in the day, two meals. Why? One for dairy, one for meat. No, that's right. People do that. I know, that's right. You choose. One of them has to be meat, and one of them has to be dairy. It doesn't have to be. If you want to do also dairy, one of them you can do meat, one of them dairy. You can have dairy at night, meat in the day, or the opposite, as you wish.
You could have dairy at night.
Yeah, dairy at night, meat in the day, whatever you want. So now, since we brought now that we eat dairy and milk, so we're going to bring the laws a little bit of basa and chalab. Okay, Avadiyahu brings it down. Basar v'chalab dino chamur yoter mishar yisurei achila. The laws of mixing meat and milk are more strict than other laws of eating not kosher food. Right? In what way? That shar yisurim ha'ochlam shelo b'derech hanatam patur. Other things that a person eats which are not kosher, if someone eats them not in a way that he enjoys it, he's patur. For example, a doctor told him he ate raw meat. Raw, not kosher meat. It's disgusting. Okay? He's patur from a avera. Why? Because it's not a normal way. But basar v'chalav, right? Even he's eating it, boiling hot, it's burning him. No one eats like that. He's already chayav. Or he made it very disgusting. Put a ton of lemon. It got very bad. He ate it. He's still chayav. Basar v'chalav. So eating basar v'chalav is a law like any other day, and there's no leniency regarding the Chag HaShavuot. Therefore, if you want to eat in one meal meat, and you want to eat meat after you eat dairy, you want to start with dairy and then change and afterwards meat. So there's a few laws to how you do it. First of all, you have to eat the milk first, right? Once you eat the meat, you can then have the milk. You have to have milk meal and then meat. Okay, you ate the milk products, you're very happy, you washed your hands, you had bread, you had milk products. Now, you have to switch the mapa. Now you want to eat meat, you have to switch the mapa, the tablecloth, put a new tablecloth. Number three, wash your mouth and eat more bread after you ate the milk, because it cleans out the mouth. Okay. Number four, you must wash your hands. Number five, you do Birkat Hamazon. And then you wash again and have another meal. Okay? You can't have in the same meal mamash.
So if you went to a catered event for Shavuos, they probably couldn't do that.
If you, they probably won't do to milk and meat in the same meal. They do.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to clean the table.
They'll just clean the table off. They won't change the tablecloth.
Besides that, if you clean it off well and there's nothing left, so no. Okay. No.
I went to the OU Center. I didn't go to the cater event because I don't trust the kashrus. But I was sticking around while everyone else ate. And there were problems.
It says in Shulchan Aruch that after hard cheese, you wait 6 hours. Hard cheese is cheese that was hardened 6 months. The hard cheese that you buy in the store, the yellow cheese, is not hard cheese. And you don't have to wait 6 hours after that before you eat meat. You can eat it, and some say wait a half an hour, wait a little bit. Because still it's a harder digestion than anything else. But the mice, you don't have to wait at all. If you brought a real hard cheese, one, I was in Holland and I brought a real hard cheese. They put it away, they seal it in
wax.
That could be hardened for 6 months, even more.
Normally it's a year.
Hard to digest?
Yeah, it's like meat. You will wait after such 6 hours between.
Why would people eat that in the first place? Is that a good taste?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it's very easy to preserve.
You don't need a fridge, right? You don't need a fridge, right?
No. You can leave it out for like a year or two or longer. Especially
it grows mold.
No, it's covered in wax.
Yeah, it's covered in wax. You put it away. And these big, I only started picking cells in Holland. Because in Holland, they're big in this, I guess. And it's a big, like, it looks like a wheel. It's big, it's this big. And it's in wax, in orange wax.
Mm-hmm.
You don't eat the wax.
But also in Wisconsin, California.
It's always from a cow.
Germany.
It's from a cow. You have kosher. I don't know what else they put in. He says it like this. Hard cheese. If it's 6 hours... 6 months. That was a. It was made. It was put in a place to be made for 6 months. You have to wait 6 hours. If it was less than 6 months, you wait an hour for each month. It was 3 months. Maybe it says 3 months aged or whatever. I don't know.
They'll normally put it on the label.
Yeah, they put how long it was aged for. But the ones that we have here now, the slide, they don't. It's not preserved at all. It's a clue. You don't have to wait anything about it. Okay. If you want to eat milk after meat, you wait 6 hours from when you finished eating the meat until you eat the milk, okay? No leniencies. There's another reason why you would want to eat dairy meal at night, not in the day, is because if you want to have milk, a coffee with milk during the night, so you want to be dairy.
Does it take 6 hours to digest the meat?
Actually, yeah. Longer.
6 hours, halachically,
at least 6 hours.
Okay. So some say that's only by meat from a cow, if it's meat from a chicken.
Three hours,
we don't make a difference. We wait 6 hours.
Even chicken.
What difference in age?
No, Michelle.
No child would have to wait 6 hours.
Ah, if he's a kid.
Yeah.
So each kid, according to his... my son was 10 years old. He waits 6 hours, and he's 10 already. The 4-year-old, he's fine, 5 years old. I make him wait, just so he knows that there's a difference. I don't really care how much he waits. Oh, he wants to have... When did you eat in school? What do you have at 1 o'clock? Oh, you have to wait till another 10 minutes, let's say. Oh, another 10 minutes is over. You should know that there's a difference between meat and milk. Doesn't really make a difference. It's just a matter of chinuch. For 10 years old, you have to already keep everything. What do you mean? 10 years old? Yeah, sure. You should. Why not? Why should he come to the age 13 and then start thinking,
Getting used to it. We wait 6 hours. Gamanu.
As a school administrator, we would serve lunches either dairy or parv. We would ban all meat, especially with...
Because they go home and then they don't know the...
We don't know what the parents' kosher standards are. and we don't know if they're even holding kosher.
Mm-hmm.
So we only serve chicken. In our food family, we feed kids a lot of lunch, but we only serve chicken.
Whereas us, we serve the pasta with cheese on it, the zesty, or else...
So, you show me my lachot now.
Blues.
Now...
Precary.
Yeah, so, to show me meat, you don't have to, eat meat or chicken to be fleishig, to be meaty, to wait 6 hours. Even if you have a broth of chicken soup or meat soup, you're ready, you're fleishig completely. You're meaty, you have to wait 6 hours until you're before eating milk, okay? Even if you just ate the broth. Some say, oh, I just ate the...
Yeah, it was cooked with meat, but
yes.
You don't eat it right now.
Right? Just liquid, ready, you have to wait 6 hours. Now, if someone, he ate meat, and 6 hours passed, and then he realized he has a piece of meat here in his teeth. It's okay, he just has to take it out, and he doesn't have to wait anymore. He can eat right away there. So then...
You have to take it out?
If it's in the teeth, better.
He doesn't have to brush his teeth after meat.
Hmm?
He doesn't have to brush his teeth after eating meat.
No.
It's a good idea.
No, but no chayav, no.
To rinse the mouth out.
He doesn't do anything if he's not eating dairy now in 6 hours.
Dairy, oh.
If he's eating dairy and wants to eat meat, then he has to clean his mouth. Wash his mouth and eat bread bread. Now, baked products. Okay? Meat. If you want to bake something with meat or bake something with cheese, okay?
It's different shapes.
You have to have, right. Different shapes. You must have. It's halacha and shulchan aruch. So if you're making challah, your wife wants now to make for Shavuot challah with butter. She has to do a different shape for the challah. You can't do the same shape as she does for the parv one. It's going to confuse. You're not going to know. Do a different shape. Okay?
Is it with square or triangle?
Okay. Something round. Really different. Not a 4-braid instead of 3-braids. That's not a difference. A real difference. Okay? So you have to go into any store, any mafia, any bakery here, any kosher bakery anywhere in the world, you'll see. There's a law. It's halacha. Square is parv. Anything else is milchik. It's halacha. You'll see they have with a naknik inside, with a soy dog inside. It's square. Why? Because it's parv. Okay? If it's triangle or round, it's milk. Ze halachok. Ze halacha. Must be different in shape. There was once a bakery. I heard from a rabbi, from one of our father's sons in Chulon. The bakery, he baked accidentally parv, something parv, in the milchig oven, completely milchig oven. He told them that if it's in the store, he's taking away the hechsher. Why? Because people don't know. It was a dairy completely, not something that was dairy. A few minutes before they put the dairy inside, they took it out and put parv stuff inside. He told them, if you sell this in the store, you're taking away the hechsher. What is he going to do with it? Put it in the garbage. That's it.
Can't put a stumbling block in front of people.
Hmm?
Can't put a stumbling block in front of people. They wouldn't know.
Right. Yeah, bread, you should make parv all the time, the best thing. Make parv bread. Sit down. If you're making garlic bread, okay, so it's something special. Everyone knows that garlic bread, there's a good chance that it's milchik. Right?
Well, not only that, but you normally slice garlic bread.
Right, and you put,
and then you put the cheese and the butter.
Okay,
and the
so onion. You can see. But stam bread, bederach rav, is fine. And that's where you should keep it, okay? Don't make challahs which are milch or fleishig. There's other baking products which could be fleishig. In Argentina, they make, what's it called again? Empanados. They have milk empanados and meat empanados. It's dough with either meat inside or cheese inside, different shapes.
In China, they have what's called a bao. It's steamed bread. It's like a mound, a circular mound, like a ball.
And what do they have inside?
Either nothing, or else bean curd, or else meat, or vegetables.
But it's not kosher, right?
Bean curd's kosher.
Okay. Kitsu, sarir, if it's milk or meat, it must be recognizable to everyone what it is. Known. Salam. Tomorrow is Yom Rabi. No shiur. Yom Chamishi Lashem. Now, into